Well, start with a nice word on Parshas Devarim, a word from the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh. The Baal Shem Tov says on the Pusik, "Vadovar Hashiyikshem Mikem Takrivin Elai Ishmativ." So he asked, "What's the Dovar Akusha?" It should have said, "Adovar Akusha Takrivin." What's the Yikshem Mikem? And what's Ishmativ? It should say, "Voidativ." He says something interesting. He said, "There's a lot of times Charizin Shalmalu. There are things that are being said to a person from Shemayim." Sending people, certain messages that Hashem tries sending people. And for some reason, they're not hearing it. They're not picking up on it. And people would wonder, right? Well, how come we're not hearing this? If it's true that Hashem sends messages to people, how come I don't hear it? And the answer is that sometimes a person is so magishim. Sometimes a person has such a achiras achoymer, he calls it, meis chamavdul, that he's not able to hear the messages Hashem is sending him. And that's Hadubar Hashiyikshem Mikem. It's your difficulty. There's something that's getting in your own way. And the only way to take care of that is to Takriv in Alayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael that if you'll become closer to me, you'll become closer to Bechinas Moshe, then Ishmat, if you'll be able to hear the messages. A person doesn't realize sometimes how he's blacking out his own messages, and then he wonders if the messages are even there. Interestingly, there's another word from the Baal Shem Tov this week in the Parsha, which he also brings a Mushal. A person could be holding a small penny in front of his eyes, and all of a sudden he sees nothing. The whole world gets blacked out. And a person would wonder, what, a small coin or a small finger is the illusion he uses. A person could put a small finger in front of his eye, and all of a sudden he can't see anything. Now that's amazing. What, a small finger could block a person's vision of the whole world? Such a huge world, so much to see, and a small finger is getting in the way. And the answer is that, yeah, if that's what's close up to your eye, it could be blacking out a whole lot. And similarly, a person could be blacking out a lot of messages and a lot of good and so much blessing, so many things that there would be to focus on by just getting in his own way. And Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us that there's so many good ways to get out of your own way, but it starts by acknowledging that you're the one blocking your own vision and not being able to see what there is, you know, what there is to see and what there is to focus on. Let me read a question and try to discuss this idea a little bit. I remember such a question coming in. Something so similar, but I guess every once in a while it's worth discussing again. Hi, and thank you, Rabbi Groen, for all your wisdom, clarity, and advice. We would like to ask a question which I don't think I ever heard you address this topic, although I think it's a very fundamental question, as follows. What is the relationship in a marriage? Is it like a typical friendship between two people, just more time and things that you do together, as I heard from you many times this concept? Or a healthy relationship between husband and wife is not even comparable to friends and something, and it's something much more than that. So what is it? The reason why I'm asking is because we are asking together as a couple married for 2 years, as two good people, but we are so different in so many areas, from personality, way of thinking, culture, background, values. So the question is, how enhanced, warm, and consistent could such a type of relationship be if the common denominators are on such a narrow road, which causes that on a basic routine day, when there's no external reason for excitement, like weddings or trips, etc., there's no connection from within, only by formal greetings, doing the duties, etc., etc., which ends up being a burnt-out relationship, and that's exactly how it feels, cold, uncomfortable, and distanced. So back to our question. If it's like a friendship, then we probably would never pick each other as friends. But since here Hashem is the one that pairs up the friends, how is that supposed to work? But if it's a total different relationship than friends, so please explain to help us understand what this is and how we can relate with our many differences in many ways, even when the differences shoot you in the eyes and wreck your brain and feelings. If you'll say love is the relationship between husband and wife, so how exactly do you come to ultimate, true, embedded love and respect with such differences? If it's the idea of mashpia makabel, which I don't hear you emphasize too often, please explain what that means. If it's much more than friends, please explain what it is, and please differentiate between romance, theory, and true relationship in case I'm living in such a theory, which I expect too much connection and warmth from everyday life, which is a romance dimion, or the question is valid, it's just a basic relationship which is missing. Thank you very much. Your help is greatly appreciated. Okay, this is a very loaded and very general question at the same time. If I had to sum up the question, I think it would be, what is and what could a relationship between husband and wife really be, especially when there's so many differences and so many things that seem to be getting in the way of real connection? Now, I'm sure whoever's hearing this will come up with different answers, because something this general could generate so many different feelings and thoughts. I'm sure every Kala teacher and every Chusin Madrek will have so much to say on this. But the point is not to now start giving hours and hours of ideas and background and information and education. I'm trying to come up with something that might be somewhat of a benefit for people listening to this. So let me just start by saying something which, if I recall correctly, when a similar question came in once, what I remember discussing then was that there's obviously very many levels of relationship. Let's call it that, very many levels. There are people who easily come to a certain connection, a certain feeling, a certain emotion that connects to people on a very warm and very deep level, let's call it. And sometimes it looks like a fantasy to some people, and to some people it's actually a dream come true. And other people just never have it. That's the truth. To start making believe that everyone could attain the same exact level of connection, I don't think it's honest or reasonable. I don't think it's realistic. I think some people have more work to do in this area. Some people have less work to do in this area. And the people who have less work to do in this area, if they do all the right things in marriage, they'll get closer and closer and closer than the natural closeness they already have, and they could reach a certain amount of blissful paradise in this world. Now, obviously, it's not realistic to think that two people will be married and have a relationship that has zero difficulties and zero challenges over time, but it's probably true to say that some people will reach a level that other people might not ever have. There are people that are starting off with such a deficit and such challenges that even when they do everything right, they're only going to reach a certain point where others are starting off over there. I think it's true. And I think it would be both foolish and dishonest to make believe that everyone could reach the same level of closeness and connection. That's what I think. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that there are different levels of relationship when it comes to marriage. I do believe, however, and this is, I think, something also that I spoke about then, that everybody could move up their relationship a few notches by learning how to connect more, learning how to focus better, learning how to take care of the difficulties that separate people and overcome those challenges. Everyone can get more and more. I think what's also important is to acknowledge that getting black and white and throwing in the towel by saying, oh, we're anyway not so connected and we're anyway not enjoying this relationship too much. So if that's the case, then this marriage is either a failure or I'll just have to accept that it's like a second-class marriage and automatically lose all the motivation and all the interest and all the feeling, because if it's not going to be anything blissful, then what's the point? You know, that's also obviously a very silly way to do things. In general, it's always good to remember that, you know, when something's not 100, you don't go back down to zero. Sometimes if you can get from 60 to 70 or from 40 to 80, you know, it's definitely worth putting in the effort and the work. And there's so much to do. There's so much to do to enhance a relationship and come closer to one another. I just wanted to start off by saying these few points that I remember discussing then, that, yeah, there are different kinds of marriages. And although it seems wonderful to believe, and it could be it's even true, that some marriages really are, you know, the top and the dream and whatever it could be, it's important to remember that if for whatever reason you don't have it, or you can't even have it, because the difficulties and the challenges, you know, are getting in the way, it's not a reason to throw in the towel and say, well, if I can't get that, then I have nothing. And I'll only focus on that, and I'll keep on trying to attain that, and then get stuck when you're still putting in work to get to something even smaller than that. But I want to elaborate a little more, and it could be it's also things that we discussed in the past as well. I think there's two questions over here which I want to first differentiate. One question is, is this for me? You know, if I'd be choosing a friend, this would not be the person I'd be choosing. So am I married to the right person? And very often people are troubled by these doubts, like, why had I get into this in the first place? For whatever reason, I was set up like this, or, you know, I wasn't asked if this is what I wanted. And here I am, dealing with something that's just not what I'm looking for. So how much effort and how much energy should I be putting into something if it could be it's not even the right shidduch, let's call it. And the second question is, what do I do about it? In other words, if I do understand and accept that the right one for me and this is what I do have to work with, then is there something to do, and what could I do to become even closer and have a happy marriage? I think the first question of am I married to the right person is something that every Eilech Yid knows, we'll call it deep down, or sometimes we say it, but we don't realize how true we really do believe in it. But it's all bashert. Hashem is the one that's mezavek zevigim. And as much as we are supposed to be responsible when it comes to looking for a shidduch and finding a shidduch, and we have all the advice and all the guidance in Chazal about finding somebody who's Shemet Hasgana Ulav, we definitely find the idea of looking for the right shidduch and making sure you're finding the right person, how to find the right information, but at the end of the day, it's Hashem running the show. And with all that we're supposed to be doing, we believe that Hashem is the one that makes shidduchim happen. And we have to believe in it in order to really accept it and move on. as long as these doubts keep on coming up in a person's mind, then obviously everything becomes so much harder. And it's definitely possible to have both the doubts and the certainty at the same time. We know it on one hand. Yes, it's Hashem running the show, and if I marry this person, this is what Hashem wants that should happen. On the other hand, people still have these doubts, like, but maybe not. And all the other questions. And sometimes you just have to settle on the information, just accept it as a reality, and believe in it. And even when doubts do come up, just to remember time and again to reinforce, you know, the truth that we know that this is what Hashem had in mind. Now the question becomes what to do about it, okay? It's a whole different thing. Now, to make a relationship work and to overcome differences, overcome challenges, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's so much easier to just sit and notice the differences, sit and notice what you call is shooting you in the eyes, sit and be either resentful or just feel like a victim of pain, you know, because there's so much that's not what we're looking for. Somebody sent me a cute quote about it's hard to work and it's hard to make a living and it's hard to earn what you need and it's hard to stay motivated. And a lot of things are hard, but it's also hard to be broke and it's hard to be unemployed and it's hard to not be fulfilled. A lot of things, those things are also hard. The difference between this hard and that hard is that if you sit and do nothing, then you'll be dealing with the hardship of all the failure and difficulties. But in order to overcome the hardship of you know, making a living and having a productive life, you have to do something about it. So if it's hard to make a living and it's hard to be broke, some people will rather be broke because you don't have to do anything about it. You know, it's hard to be productive and it's hard to feel like a loser who's not productive. But if you do nothing, I guess it's somewhat easier to not be productive and deal with that hardship. But when you think about it, there's truth to it, because it's hard to not be happy and it's hard to become happy. They're both very hard. And it's up to us to choose. Hashem gave us this choice. What do you want to choose? Do you want to be happy and put in hard work? Or is it just too hard to do that, so you'd rather deal with the hardship of not being happy? And very often when it comes to shulam bayis, it comes to relationships, people have to make that choice. It's not easy for me to do all the right things to make this marriage or this relationship work. It's not easy. And don't think it is easy. And there's nothing I can say that's going to make it easy. But if you choose to do whatever you could, even though it's hard, you'll probably end up with the easier hard, let's call it that. Before I go on, I also want to mention that sometimes from inside, from the way you're describing it, which is interesting that husband and wife are both sending in such a question, it's interesting that you're both acknowledging the same way, that this is an interesting relationship and that you're both struggling and you both want to make it work. Okay, I definitely commend a couple who's open about this and both want to make it work. On the other hand, sometimes talking about it this way between husband and wife, like, are we really a match? Do we have what it takes? We're both not enjoying it. You're basically bringing up again and again a certain negativity, a certain problem, which is not good to focus on. And first thing I want to remind you both is that from inside, you know, dealing with it and living in it and being in this relationship might look to you very challenging. And I'm sure it is. And I don't mean to trivialize the difficulties of not feeling connected and not feeling compatible and not feeling close. On the other hand, it's just like everything else in life. When you look from the outside, it could be so much simpler. In other words, Baruch Hashem, you're not describing any major difficulties, major challenges, major fighting, major challenging difficulties that people have. And you never know if your neighbor, who's dealing with something much worse, is going to look through your window and say, wow, if only I had that. Now, the point is not to make yourself feel good by the fact that someone else is struggling more than you. The point is just to realize that because you're in this and you're feeling it and you're seeing it emotionally, so the differences and the challenges are so blatant and so clear, and sometimes that's like a little finger in front of your eyes that's blocking you from all the blessing that there really is. Sometimes when you just step out a little bit and realize that all these challenges are, Baruch Hashem, relatively normal, it just helps you be motivated to be able to overcome them and actually overcome the differences and the challenges, you know, and in real life, you know, access all the blessing that really is there. It might not be as bad as you think. Now, I want to say an interesting idea that came to mind when I was reading this question. Let me discuss two relationships that we have that we seem to see them, I think, in a different light than we see the relationship with a spouse. And maybe this will be somewhat eye-opening for people who are looking for general understanding of how to make a marriage work and what a marriage is supposed to be like, you know, in general. One relationship is a relationship with our children. And Imagine, just imagine, if there would be an option, chas v'shulim, I mean, just to think about it, if people could divorce their children. Imagine if you know, you're not getting along with a child, regardless of what age. It could be a 5-year-old, it could be a 15-year-old, it could be a 35-year-old. Imagine if you could divorce a child. At some point, somebody gets frustrated enough. It's taking so much effort. I can't make this work. I don't have koyach for this. You know, between the challenges and the resentments and the fighting and the quarreling and the disagreements and the disappointments and the arguments, you know what? Let's get divorced. Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, just to think about it, how many people would actually get divorced from their children? Now, of course, later maybe we'll regret it and want to remarry and whatever, and maybe not. But it doesn't work like that. Hashem didn't give us the option. Now, I know that in the Svurim, there's obviously the idea of karachim avalbunim, and there's all the natural love and feeling that parents have for children. Right? We always use it in the mushal of the connection that we have with Hashem, etc., etc. Right? In idea, you know, it sounds beautiful. It sounds like it's something that we should all be able to relate to and feel and be connected. In the coloring book, we have all the ideas of parents and children spending time together and bonding and shepping all the naches and whatever. And in real life, maybe there's such a thing. There is such a thing, I should say, not maybe. There is such a thing. There are parents and children who have a relationship that's so connecting and so loving and so beautiful. It's wonderful. And sometimes that's what we strive for and think about and imagine that that's what's really there. And then we get so nervous when we don't have it. And Hashem doesn't give us the option of breaking away. Hashem doesn't give us the option of getting divorced. And that's why you know you stick to it and you make it work. Now, does everyone make it work? No, not everyone makes it work. There are people that don't get along with their children, people that are very upset at their children. But I think that there's, you know, it's just an interesting relationship of seeing how there is the, you know, the blissful, perfect picture that some people, very few, have. Then there's the very common picture of children who do bring about a lot of frustration and aggravation and grief. And because there isn't the option of breaking away, I think that's why people invest more. People hear Chinuch She'irim, people hear all kinds of classes and courses which try to arouse the right feelings of parents to invest even more in children and see the good in children, overcome all the difficulties. And especially when children are young, it just becomes sometimes easier to accept the fact that my child is different than me and try to focus on the right things. And there are very many parents who, even if they wouldn't do this naturally, but when you tell it to them, you know, you should really be putting more emphasis on seeing the good in your child and unconditional love and seeing all the positive and appreciating all the good and complimenting. And people do it. People do it. They don't have the option of just cutting away. And people do it. Doesn't mean it's easy. No. But people believe in the connection and they don't want to give up on that connection. Now, just to understand why it's so difficult, you know, there's so many things in your life that if it's up to you, there's things you could do about it. It might take a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, but as long as it's up to you what kind of house you want to have and what kind of job you want to have, the second you're in a relationship with someone else who has a different opinion, different attitude, different idea, you know, it's two free wills working against each other. You and your child both want different things. It becomes difficult. But people understand that sometimes you have to overcome your natural understanding of things and the natural instinctive way of doing something in order to have a connection with a child. And the people that do that are the people that are happy, and the people that don't do that are the people that suffer. Let me talk about another relationship that we have, and that's our relationship with Hashem. It sounds beautiful to have that amazing connection with Hashem, right? The people, whether it's a tzaddik or somebody who we look up to, someone who's so spiritual and so connected, always seeing the Hashgucha Prutis, always thanking Hashem and being close to Hashem, seeing the good in Hashem, serving Hashem, and it's wonderful. And we know there is such a blissful relationship with Hashem. We obviously don't see the challenges that those people have in their relationship with Hashem, but in general, there is such a thing as somebody who is so closely connected to Hashem and lives Hashem and breathes Hashem and enjoys every second in Hashem's presence. And unfortunately, many of us don't have that. We don't have that. Now again, Baruch Hashem, there's no option for divorce. You can't give up your Yiddishkeit. People try, unfortunately, and they see that they can't really give it up because it doesn't leave you. Your neshama is always there. And we tend to understand that there's so much work to put in. It just makes it easier to accept in these relationships with our children and our relationship with Hashem the struggle of the mind and the heart. I think that's what it boils down to, the mind and the heart. In our heart, that's where we feel the emotions and that's where we feel the difficulties. That's where we feel the challenges of our children, we feel the challenges of Hashem. We're only human, we get upset at Hashem, we have questions about on Hashem, we wonder if he's really there, if he really cares, if he's really helping us, right? Those are all emotions that everyone experiences. And logically we remember that I'm supposed to be the one to help my child, and I'm supposed to be the one to be dedicated to Hashem, and if only I'll be more ibrigegeben to Hashem, I'll be able to connect more to Hashem, and I'll try even harder, and I have a yetzahara that's making it hard for me. All these thoughts, these are logical thoughts. We don't feel them, but we know them to be true. And that's the struggle that people have in this world, to feel one thing and know something else. To feel a difficulty and know the right thing. What's really the right thing for me to do? And when we serve Hashem, that's the typical example of where we keep on seeing, you know, the how much our understanding and our logic and the truth, the knowledge that we have is so different than what we feel. And we're ready for it. As much as it's hard for us, whoever's learning a Misr Cipher, whoever's working on himself, is trying to overcome how he feels and do what he believes is true. Now, for some reason, when it comes to this relationship of marriage, that's where sometimes these things become very difficult. I don't know if it's because there's the option of divorce, that at the end of the day, you know, people subconsciously think, like, why am I investing so much, or will it ever be good, or maybe with someone else it would have been better. But I think there's so much to learn from these relationships with our children and with Hashem. There's so much to learn about marriage as well. It's so easy to get those frustrating, resentful feelings. It's so easy to feel distant. It's so easy to feel like, why do I have to put in all this work? It's so easy to wonder, can I really be connected? And to understand that this is all the same idea. It's the same yetzahara. It's the same challenges. It's the same emotional difficulties. That if only we would be able to see it for what it is, focus on the logic, focus on what we know to be true, that's when we could pursue the ideas that we want, even though they are difficult. There are difficulties. There are definitely difficulties in every marriage. Some less and some more, like I said before, and I believe that to be true. But if only we could do what we know is true. I think this is like a similar idea to what's known as the CBT approach in therapy, for example. When somebody has a certain anxiety or a certain phobia or a certain emotional challenge, and he knows logically there's nothing to be afraid of. He knows it. He saw it. He knows it. He sees everyone else is going on in life without being afraid. And he still has that feeling. If a person could accomplish and get himself to pursue what he believes to be true and not what he feels to be true, then automatically things start becoming easier. It doesn't become easy right away, but it just helps you stay focused and do what's right. I think when it comes to marriage, there's so much that could be accomplished if people would focus on what they know to be true and not what they feel to be true. Instead of having that little finger or that little coin blocking our vision, you know, to be able to take it away and see the big picture, not just have our feelings get in the way. Whether it means focusing on the good in a spouse, whether it means focusing on all the things that we are, that we do have in common, that we could help each other with, focusing on someone else and less on myself, focusing on the big picture, focusing on the fact that this is a bashert relationship that Hashem put us together, focusing on the goal in life of having a family and raising children and building a mukam for Nashua Shechina, you know, all of a sudden everything becomes simpler. This is not a new issue. Every kind of Shulam Bayis challenge was always there. We learn in Chazal, we learn all these, you know, Gemuras. We find all these challenges where people didn't get along and people got stuck on different things that were bothering them. This was always there. And the only way to overcome these things is when we follow our logic and our mind and what we know to be true and not to what we feel to be true. So what I think I would tell the questioner or questioners, this couple asking this question, yes, it's true that there might be a relationship that's much, much more than friendship and much more emotionally connecting than any other relationship. And there are those marriages where two people really do become one, and it all sounds beautiful if only people could, you know, could achieve that in real life. But if you can't, if you could at least focus on what you do have, you could at least focus on what you could overcome, and you could try to have that, let's call it moich shalt al alev kind of attitude and approach, not very different than you have when it comes to children who get on your nerves, and not very different than when it comes to your questions and challenges and you know, all the difficulties you have in your relationship with Hashem, I think everything could become simpler. So I don't know if I answered the question, but I do believe that anything that people could get to in marriage comes with a certain idealistic attitude, idealistic approach. It's much easier to be idealistic when it comes to our children, and we know that as parents we should be doing more and feeling more and be responsible for our children. It's easier to be idealistic when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, and we know that we're not doing what we should be doing, and we should demand more of ourselves, and it's always the question on ourselves and not on Hashem. You know, it's much easier to be idealistic over there. It's much harder to be idealistic when it comes to a relationship like marriage, like, why do I have to, and this is so difficult, and who needs this? But I think that when we take away the blockages that we have, which are basically our self-centeredness, and our selfishness and our ego and our feelings and all our emotional challenges, and we look at what there is, and we look at what we could demand of ourselves, whether it means to focus on the other person's good, whether it means to see how we could help someone else, how much could we give a spouse, how much could we focus on the big picture and the goal in life. I think in the Eibush itself, this is really what takes things to the next level. There are people that don't have to put in that much work to get this feeling of connection. And there are people that do. And the people that do, when they see this as a goal in life, and when they see this as a mission in life, and when they see this as something that it's okay if I have to demand of myself and work on myself to do things that I'm not feeling great about, to do things that are not easy for me, but do things that I know to be true, and I'll do it on my own, and not just when my spouse does the same thing coming across to me. I'll see what I could do to get this connection even better, to overcome the challenges and differences and all those blockages. I think when I myself, this could help every single marriage, you know, get in the right direction to improve, to achieve a closer connection as time goes on. And when I myself live together, Ma'ava Achva Shulam V'Rayas.